Well, now, who is Jesus speaking to here? It says, when the chief priest and the Pharisees heard this parable, they realized he was speaking about them. They wanted to arrest him, but they feared the crowds because they regarded him as a prophet. And who is Jesus talking about? Who are the tenants? Well, the tenants are the Pharisees, the people who were running the church, the people who were entrusted with the responsibilities of providing for the spiritual needs of the people of Israel. And who are the servants that he sends? But his prophets. And it was well known that prophets were not always well accepted, and sometimes stoned, and sometimes killed, and sometimes chased away. And we have all those stories in our Old Testament still. And who, of course, is the son? The son of the landlord is the Son of God, our Jesus, our Christ, our Savior. He came with a message that people turned away from. And not only did they turn away from the message, but they beat him and hung him on a tree to die. Sad, isn't it? That we could be given such gifts, that we could be offered such wondrous things, and that we could fail to accept them. We hear this story and we think, well, we're not like the Pharisees. They didn't appreciate Jesus. They didn't hear his message. But do we always do what God asks us to do? Do we always hear the message that he sends to us through his prophets, through his son, through his messengers of whatever kind? Do we always do what needs to be done? Do we always reach out when people are hurting? Do we always speak when people are in trouble? Do we always? No, we don't. No, I don't think we've stoned anyone lately or hung anyone on a tree in the churchyard these days, but we don't always do everything we could. But we do many wonderful things, and I'm proud of the wonderful things that we do. I'm proud of the UMVIM teams that I see going out to other places. It's the practice of UMVIM to give everybody luggage tags. And they have a map of the world, or a graphic that shows the world, and then they have a cross and flame in the middle of it. And we're always proud to see those bags come out of the chute, you know. For one thing, that means you're getting your luggage, and it's got your clothes in it, so you're going to have something to wear. That's a good thing. Airlines are not known for their perfection as far as getting the right luggage to the right place at the right time. They don't always even get the people to the right place at the right time. But we talked this weekend about those folks who, you know, go to countries where Christianity is not very welcome. And they're sometimes reminded, don't put the luggage tag on the outside of your bag. Not only may it not get where it's going, but if it does get to you, you may be in trouble for proselytizing in a country that doesn't accept our religion. Scary that should be true today, isn't it? We don't think of that sort of thing in this country, but there are countries where it's unhealthy to proclaim Christianity. It's punishable by death in some places. And people die today for proclaiming Christ as King. We don't face those kinds of challenges. We face simpler challenges, and yet because they are less dangerous, perhaps they are more seductive. The challenges of, are we going to get up in the morning and go to church, or are we going to sleep in? Are we going to help somebody on Saturday afternoon, or are we going to watch the game? Sometimes I think that football is the dominant religion, And I admit, I watched the second half. I listened to it on my way home on the radio, and when I got home, I ran in the house and turned on the TV so I could see the last few minutes. But we have to keep things in perspective. We have to put Christ first in our life, and then things follow from that. We have to put our money into the church, and then what we have left seems to go so much further. We have to put our time into things serving God, and then our time seems to be so much more valuable. We have to spend our time and energy helping people and loving people and doing those things that God would value. And then the other things that we value kind of fit better into our lives. I watched a young lady running down the street today with her kid in a baby carriage. She was extremely thin, looked very fit, dressed for the hot weather. And I thought, I wonder if she's running towards something or away from something. How much time do we spend running toward God, and how much time do we spend running away from those things that we are not happy about that we have done? I've been a landlord, so the idea of having tenants who don't take care of your property was something I was personally very familiar with. It's scary to sign a lease with somebody that you don't know very well and to hand over to them that property that you are looking forward to having for your retirement, that income that you hope to have to pay your mortgage payment on that property, to turn over to someone who is perhaps a complete stranger, or hopefully someone you know a little, maybe a lot, even better yet, someone from your family, that you can trust with those things that you have. The landlord expects, you know, to get his rent. Granted, there are times when you have to put that money right back into the property because there's something wrong, there's something that needs work, there's something that needs to be repaired, there's something that needs to be replaced, but you kind of budget for that. But when people don't take care of it, they're not just not taking care of the property, they're threatening your retirement, they're threatening your livelihood, they're threatening your business, they're threatening you. How well do we take care of those responsibilities that God has given us? How many times do we fail to speak or fail to act or fail to help when we could do His work? We're not perfect. But He has promised to forgive us if we believe in Him. He has promised to overlook things if we will just know that He is God and recognize Him as such. He has given us this world, and we joy living in it, especially on such a beautiful day, and yet we forget who it's a gift from. Somebody said something the other day, and I said, yeah, every day above ground is a good day indeed. An old saying from work in ambulance service where you see people not make it through the day sometimes. And they gave me some kind of guff back about this or that, and I thought, how sad. You know, we have this gift from God of this life. Do we appreciate it? Do we value it? Do we take care of it? Sometimes, but not always. As we share together today our gifts of bread and wine, the body and blood of Christ, let's not forget the gift that He gives us of the days, whether it be 57 years of marriage or one. It's a gift from God, whether it be 80 years of life or two. Those are a gift from God. We have so many gifts, and we appreciate them sometimes so little until they're about to be taken away from us. And then we go, wait, stop. Don't take that. God has given us wondrous things.